So we've had a number of attacks on the population, which are being documented. We've had a number of attacks against the humanitarian community, which are just completely unacceptable, to attack people who are coming to assist others by many different armed actors. So, you know, we went up to almost 230 incidents over the past 5 months alone, which is, I think, it's about almost 60% higher than the same period last year. So while we're trying to deliver humanitarian life-saving assistance, on a number of occasions, our colleagues are being, as last week, shot and killed. We've had a number of vehicles looted, both from the UN agencies and the international NGO community, while delivering assistance. We've had people looted in their homes. So we're doing our best, but we are neutral. We're impartial. We're not taking sides. We're not aligned to any party. We're here absolutely for the population. And the fact that our work is being obstructed, we need to speak out about it. And so our humanitarian team has been speaking out about the incidents which occur against the population, but which also occur against the group of people that try to deliver that assistance.
Ms. Brown, you talked about the assistance activities that you have been undertaking that are currently being obstructed. But what are some of the other difficulties that your organization, OCHA, is encountering?
You know, one of the biggest challenges we've had over the past 5 months was the blocking of the main supply road into the country, what we call here the MSR1. A couple of targeted attacks by the armed groups and the coalition of armed groups on that road really created a huge and perfectly understandable fear factor, so that the transporters didn't want to come across. You know, at one time there were over 1,000 trucks on the other side of the border in Cameroon, which included trucks for the humanitarian community, for the World Food Program, for UNICEF, for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, for the international NGOs, and for MINUSCA, the UN peacekeeping operation here. And we started to see shortages of food in the market and up to increases of 60%. So there was a deliberate attempt to choke the capital and create food shortages and panic. So that was really one of the major obstructions we've had to deal with. The second we're dealing with right now is during these offensive and counteroffensive, we have people who are caught in the middle, you know, ordinary people who live in small villages, who work on their land, who try and send their children to school, and then end up having to flee their homes out of fear of an attack and what might happen to them.
Well, there are concerns among some of the affected population who you provide assistance to that because of some of these gross security challenges, they have fear that humanitarian organizations like yours could park and leave. How do you address some of these concerns for them?
We are doing our utmost to stay and deliver. Both the UN agencies and the international NGOs who managed to deliver assistance to about 1 million people a month in this country, despite all the difficulties. So while, yes, the incident last week with MSF has shaken us up, it has really shaken us up. We will work on these issues. We will continue to pass the messages that we are neutral, we are impartial, we are delivering assistance. There's no reason, we are not part of this conflict. There is no reason to target humanitarian aid workers. At the end, it's only the population that suffers. So my message to the population of the Central African Republic, who know us very well, is we'll continue to do our best to remain, but we also need armed actors to respect humanitarian principles and allow us to do our job.
Some also say that because of the murder of some of these humanitarian medical organizations like the MSF murder, there has to be a red line that need not to be crossed. Is there a red line that can be crossed that would significantly affect delivery of humanitarian assistance?
Killing medical personnel is a red line. It's definitely a red line. It means that delivering assistance, supporting people in those communities is going to be practically impossible in the coming days or weeks. It's very true. How can we send people in to assist the population with the risk of being shot and killed? That doesn't, however, mean that in other parts of the country where we can operate without that risk that we will stop. Absolutely not. You know, we understand that between the population in the humanitarian community, if we withdraw that humanitarian community, where will the population turn to? Yeah. So we are very mindful of our responsibility to the population, but I'm also a humanitarian coordinator, very responsible, very mindful of my responsibility to protect humanitarian aid workers. And yes, there are absolutely limits. There are definitely limits.